Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Conference USA Report podcast. Welcome to it. Apologies for not having a show last week. I know some of you were expecting the show and asking, hey, what happened to the show? Well, CR was traveling, so couldn't be here. Couldn't be helped. I guess I could have broadcasted from the airport, but they frown on things like that, carrying mics and things in the airport. Ladies and gentlemen, exciting week in Conference USA, our favorite little conference to follow. So let's talk about it, shall we? We had some bye weeks. Marshall was idle. Who else is gone? Who else is sitting down at home? Western Kentucky, idle. Middle Tennessee, idle. So let's go over it. Let's start with the power ranking, shall we? Let's start with UAB. Number one, big win over South Alabama, 35-3 winners. Tyler Johnson III, 313, three scores on 22 of 27 passing. Hit Kendall Parham for a few nice touchdowns. I think one of them's like a 67-yard bomb. Good stuff over there. UAB looks real good. They look solid. Whatever issues and rust might have came up in that first game, well, you know, it seems like they took care of it, right? That's pretty typical. The first three, four games, you're integrating new players, you're shaking off some rust, you're adjusting to others' adjustments, right? You know, they've been preparing for you for a whole off season, and they have their full teams and whatever. And you kind of adjust, you figure out who you are, what you want to do, what you're all about, even if you thought you knew that coming into the season. As it is, UAB looks good, 3-0. Right, I think that's the best way to struggle, is to struggle and win. Right, 3-0. You wouldn't even know that they had a close one in that first one, but they looked like they could pick their own score against South Alabama in this one. Again, 3-0 on the season, and you think if we can keep throwing the ball the way we've been doing it, right, 313 yards through the air, and we have a talented running back that we know can break some tackles and can get some of the yards that we need them to get. You know, we're good, right? You look down the West Division, which team scares you if you're UAB? You know, UTSA, terrible right now. Tech, solid, but they kind of beat themselves up a lot. I mean, last year you showed that you can beat them on the road, that kind of deal. North Texas, yeah, offense, you beat them at home. That doesn't come to the end of the season. And that defense is still young, right? Southern Miss is maybe, right? Maybe that's your challenger. But I think you like where you are if you're UAB right now in the conference. Again, 3-0. Marshall, idle this week. 2-1 on the season. They got to rest up. They had a nice little win over Ohio last week. They have the best division, the defense in the division, right? I mean, you look through the East Division, who's there that can compete? FIU, you thought maybe they had like a talented defense, but I mean, well, we'll talk about them in a little bit. Charlotte is like the most surprising team in that one, but you know, they don't really have a defense that scares you. They have some talent, right? Highsmith's out there, he's pretty good, but nobody that you think they can compete with us. And I think if you're Marshall, you know, Marshall's the only unit, the only group that challenged that juggernaut of an FAU team that there was a couple seasons ago. And so you look at Charlotte, which is look like the best offense in the league right now. You think, we probably can handle this team, right? We're not really scared of them. So Marshall's in a good spot, 2-1 so far, right? Next up, they got Cincinnati, a little tune-up again. I have them at second place in the power rankings because right now it looks like it's their division to lose. I think that's what everybody feels like, right? Louisiana Tech, number 3. 3-1 on the season. 1-0 in conference play. It was not really that pretty, right? You look at the score, 43-31. You're like, oh, they kind of blew them out. One, that the last scoop score by, was it Amik Robertson on the onside kick? You know, he just kind of padded the stats a little bit. You like that Justin Henderson scored three times, had 141 yards on the ground. He was shaking off FIU tacklers. He was dominant. Jamar Smith had an efficient 290. He did throw an interception, but that was really not his fault. He kicked the ball, like, hit an FIU defender's foot. Pops up. Interception. It looked briefly like, oh, same old Louisiana Tech. You know, same old Rustin Kearse. He got, you know, big game, and the world conspires against us. But a nice win. FIU looked a little bit like their old selves in this one. And we'll talk a little bit more when we talk more about FIU. But this is a solid win. It was not really the battle of division favorites as we thought it was going to be, because FIU is struggling right now. But Louisiana Tech, they stepped up, got a good win, and it's a conference win, right? It's a cross-division matchup, a good one, right? FIU still, whatever, they still have talent. You can't just lay down and think the win's going to come to you, right? You just take a nap, wake up, and then you get a win. You got to go out and earn it still. And so credit to Louisiana Tech for doing so. And, you know, again, if you're a Tech fan, you're like, hey, is our defense stepping up when we need them to? And can our offense generate enough and then not hurt themselves, right? Yes. Probably got too many field goals, but that's kind of been the theme of Louisiana Tech football past few seasons. So you're not surprised at this. But you got what you expect from your offense, right? Hey, did Jamar Smith move the ball? Yes, 290 yards. Could the run game, you know, get some tough yards? Yes. Justin Henderson breaking tackles, 141 yards, scores three times. And then, all right, we're getting field goals, right? Are we making them? Yes. Bailey Hill made five of them. Probably going to be Conference USA player, the special teams player of the week. Good wins for Tech, 1-0 in the conference. Number four, North Texas at 2-2, 1-0 in the league. They whooped up on UTSA, 45-3. We'll talk about UTSA in a second, right? I think they look very bad. But we have to talk about them enough to kind of put this North Texas win into context, right? So North Texas looked pretty poor against SMU, and they looked bad in the first quarter against Cal. But SMU and Cal might be ranked. That's weird. But it is true. So beating up on this UTSA team maybe is like the real quality of North Texas against a very bad UTSA team, right? We also didn't know what UTSA was going to be because they lost real bad to Baylor. They went up against a very unique Army team. Army gives everybody trouble, right? They gave Oklahoma trouble last year. So it's hard to tell exactly what that team is. And then even Rice, who played Army better, they played them in the first week and they had more time to prepare. So it was difficult to get a gauge on what UTSA was. Whatever the case is, I always say, if you're a good team, your job is to beat a bad team very, very well. And North Texas did that, right? If UTSA is as bad a team as we think they are, then you need to beat them 45-3, and they did, right? They shut them down. Frank Harris got hurt in this one. That kind of limits the offense, but Narcisse had time. He has talent. They didn't even get a garbage time touchdown, right? Sincere McCormick has been specializing in garbage time touchdowns right now, and nothing. Rico Bussey's out for the year. Somebody else has got to step up for that North Texas offense. Mason Fine only 195 yards passing. The run game carried them. Trey Siggers, 143 yards on 14 carries. That kid's good. And the former safety, former running back turned safety back to running back guy might be, he did take the top spot for North Texas, but he's in the running for, Conference USA Player of the Year if he keeps it up this way. He also had two scores. I think that was the highest run total of the week. Next up, Houston at home. Maybe the crowd will turn out for North Texas in this one. I think only 19,000 showed up for the North Texas UTSA game. There you go. Charlotte. Last week, we had them higher up on this list, power ranking list. And this is not really a knock on them. But, whatever momentum you had, we knew that was going to drop, right? Best case scenario, best case realistic scenario was that you give Clemson a game and everybody feels good. As it was, Clemson whooped up on them 52-10. And, we still haven't seen Charlotte in league play. We still don't know how good they are, right? I think they're pretty good. The offense, it looks like that's a sustainable kind of offense. Dabo Swinney, coach of Clemson, did say this is the best rushing team we face all season. And a lot of that is, coaches. Like you listen to coaches in pregame press conferences. They're always going to play the best team in the nation, right? No matter who they're playing, right? But Charlotte has brought some dynamism to the run game. A lot of movement, a lot of fakes and other things to get Benny LeMay in position to attack, even though they know the run's coming. I think I wrote about this, like 62% of their runs, they run 62% of the time on first down, right? And despite that, they're still successful doing it. Not only just that's just execution, but then also keeping the defense a little bit off balance. Yes, you're going to run, but it's not going to be, you know, split zone dive up the middle, right? It's always going to be a little something different. Anyway, 2-2 for Charlotte. Next up, we get to see them in conference play against Florida Atlantic. That should be a good one, right? We'll get to see Charlotte's defense against a team that has some talent and a coordinator that can make some things happen. And we'll go to see their offense against, you know, a solid and talented defense, right? And conference play, we really get to see what it all is about. It's time for Charlotte to step up. It's been a nice little story. I think this Clemson loss can benefit them. You get to see what it's like to compete at the highest levels. I mean, they're defending national champs, number one in the nation, right? You see what it takes to be great nationally. And whatever that is, like, man, they were crisp attacking this way, or they just came in waves, or, you know, they were just bigger, faster, stronger. We got to get that way. Whatever that is, right? The coaches, same way. They just came ready for us. They were schemed up right, whatever. That's how it improves. Same thing for Southern Miss at 2-2. 49-7 losers to number two in the nation, Alabama. Expected loss, right? Alabama was just too big, too strong, too fast for this one. It was the receiver Ruggs. Had time on one play to turn around, catch the ball, spin, and then continue running. And the safety, who was very fast, I forget who it was, who was running full speed the whole time after him, didn't catch up to him. There's not a whole lot you could do against a guy that just can outrun you, right? You can't really scheme for that every time. Alabama has made a lot of teams look pretty silly. There were some good plays in this one, some nice gains here and there that produced nothing. Southern Miss did get on the board, which I'm sure makes Nick Saban unhappy, but as it is, a loss. It kind of sucks for both Charlotte and Southern Miss, two of the hotter teams in the league right now, having to play the number one and number two teams in the nation, respectively. But again, same thing that I said for Charlotte applies to Southern Miss. It gives them a chance to execute, to see what it's like to execute at that level, right? You got to carry it over, though. You play UTEP, you got to treat UTEP the way Alabama treated you, you know, because UTEP is not that good. You can't play down to their level. Jack Abraham, Jalen Adams, Quez Watkins, there's a lot of talent on this Southern Miss team, and I like what they're doing out there. I think they can score with anybody in this league. The question is, like, the defense, which is good, it's very good, can they get enough stops? And then also, hey, Jack Abraham, can you not turn the ball over, right? Those are the keys. But Jalen Adams is a weapon on special teams, and I think Southern Miss is they're right in this thing. Western Kentucky got them at 7th, 1-2, 1-0 on the season. They barely squeaked by FIU. They had a week off. They get to plan. I know they had an injury to the QB, Duncan. Figure out where they're going, what they're going to do. Helton has to choose a quarterback. But if you're going to have to do that, it's good to do it with 2 weeks to prepare, not just the one, right? UAB, one of the best teams in the conference right now, defending champs in the conference. If you're going to play them, it's good to have 2 weeks to prepare, right? Western Kentucky is still rebuilding. A lot of questions here. I think their offense is improving. But it's never good when your quarterback goes down. I have to replace him. Middle Tennessee, 1-2 on the season. Idle this week. They got handled pretty well by Duke last week. They had the bye week to prepare for Iowa. We're not going to learn a whole lot about Middle Tennessee for a little bit. They did give Michigan a game. Michigan looks pretty bad. They looked pretty bad against Wisconsin, but Wisconsin's made everybody look bad. So we'll see again. I mean, still playing non-conference games. Middle Tennessee is. They're probably going to come out of that one 1-3 and still might make the league title game. I mean, you never know with this team. FAU, 2-2 on the season, 42-7 winners over Wagner. Robinson threw for 5 scores, 379 yards passing. D'Angelo Antoine had 11 catches, 173 yards, and 4 scores. It's Wagner. You know, there's not much to say. This is kind of what you expect. I think D'Angelo Antoine probably is going to win Offensive Player of the Week for this one. But, I mean, come on. That's an FCS team. But it's hard to argue with 4 scores. They play Charlotte at Charlotte. That's going to be a tough one. That's a real test. This is kind of a program booster. It's a glorified scrimmage. Wagner's not very good. But you got to everybody gets to feel good about themselves and get a little win and feel excited. So that's good for the program that way. Old Dominion, 1-2 on the season, 28-17 losers to number 21 Virginia. This is another one of those weird Monarch things where they bother a P5 team. They look a little bit better, and everybody starts praising them. The offense in this game was terrible, both sides. Both of them were sub 300 yards. ODU, I think, outgained the Cavaliers. Well, about 20 yards. It was like 260 to 244 or something like that. The Monarchs led 17-0, and there was much made about Bronco Mendenhall's, the Virginia coach's speech at halftime about rallying the troops and blah, blah, blah. 28-7 was the final. Stone Smart looks like the guy for Old Dominion, but they're not really moving the ball anywhere. He can run, he can scramble a little bit, he can move the ball on the ground with his feet, but Old Dominion's been looking for a quarterback for a while, and that's what they need. Good game, good effort. Play ECU next. You know, I saw ESPN called ECU a Conference USA team. No, that's wrong, ESPN. Rice, 0-4 in the season, but 4 quality losses, right, where you feel good about these losses. I think that Rice is going to be tough. I saw a tweet, I think it was the bulletin board Twitter account, was saying that Rice is going to jump up and beat somebody. I think that's true. They held Baylor to only 21. They allowed 427 yards of offense. You know, that Wiley Green came back. Rice had trouble putting the full offensive drives together. Right? You had like 10 plays, you know, didn't get anything of it. I think they're putting it together. They're getting there. You can see the slow progress. You know that these guys are going to be good. It takes a while to build the kind of program the way they want to be. Even if you look over at Seth Luttrell, right, say at North Texas, his 2016 year, they were a bad offense, like very bad. And it took a while to put it together. And, you know, like these kinds of things don't really just turn. You can't just start throwing a ball around. It's like, well, you got a quarterback, now we're amazing. You got to build the linemen. You got to build the talent and like the culture of the way they want to play this game. I like it. I like the way they're going. They're playing tough. They're playing teams tough. Played Army tough. Played Baylor tough. They played Louisiana Tech next. I don't know who they're going to beat. Louisiana Tech always seems like a team that's going to slip up. But Rice is going to get some wins because I think they're right on the cusp. If Wiley Green or Stewart can improve enough throwing a ball that they can have some dynamism in their offense, they'll be very good very soon. But I mean, hey, if they get a quarterback, it's not really breaking new ground, right? Hot sports analysis there. UTEP 37-21 losers against Nevada. Nevada is not a good team, apparently. They struggled last week against I forget who they played. Their big win was against Purdue, right, in the opener. UTEP and Nevada were like 21-21. UTEP still doesn't have really an offense. Loxley threw 2 picks in his 6 attempts. Jones struggled. The run game will get off the ground if they can throw the ball. That's been a theme with this team for 2 seasons now. They play USM next. I don't really think that UTEP is going to really develop past this, but I think I like, again, much like Rice, I like where UTEP is putting things into place. They've had some struggles with, you know, because the new coach took the program over in a weird spot. You know, they've lost all their talented defenders, right? The cornerback, I forget where he went. I think he went to Miami. They were good last year defensively, but they lost a lot of those guys. So now they're still rebuilding the program. I like where they're going. They're starting to play teams tough. They have that quirky kind of Kansas State type of offense. There's a lot to like. They haven't put it together. They're not ready to beat USM just yet. They do play them at home, and it's hard to travel to El Paso, so you never know. But, I mean, we'll see with this team. UTSA, let's talk about this squad, because it may be time to change the coach. They lose to North Texas, and they didn't look competitive at all, right? The offense, again, struggles without a competent quarterback back there. Frank Harris gets injured. Narcisse can't throw the ball. He can run around. He ran for 98 yards, but North Texas was seemingly letting him do that as they took away all his other options. A lot of excuses for Frank Wilson, head coach. He's changed out the coordinator a couple times to say, well, we got to be better offensively. I think he said something I found kind of ridiculous in context. Like, this is surprising to see because we had such a great week in practice. I mean, maybe that's the problem, man. You know, you can't see it. And so that's why they're losing. Frank Harris has not had a good run at UTSA. He got to a bowl game with a 6-7 record his first season there. Had a lot of hype. Went 6-5 the next season. Didn't make a bowl game. That's not really his fault. But since he's lost Dalton Sturm, they've not really done too much. And I'll argue that those 6-5 and that 6-7 record were underperformances, right? Because they had a quality defense, a very good defense led by an NFL defensive lineman who's making noise in the NFL right now, right? And they had a competent Conference USA quality quarterback in Dalton Sturm, who had a cup of coffee in the NFL, right? They were good enough. They had enough talent to do some things. And yes, they got unlucky against that North Texas team in 2017 where they allowed a touchdown, you know, in 50 seconds with no timeouts, whatever, a couple Hail Marys, basically. But since that point, right, they scored 26 points in that game. Since that point, they've not scored more than 30. Well, they scored 30-plus only three times in 23 games. They scored in the single digits nine times in that span. He's pulled all the levers, right? He's pressed all the buttons. He's switched all the quarterbacks he can. They're not good. And yes, it's very difficult to find a quarterback. That's the number one goal for everybody. But they haven't done it. It's not happened. And Frank Harris, yes, he's the guy, but you have to, you need a couple guys, right? You need the next guy. Because if once you lose a guy, you know, it will happen. You have to play the next one. That's I was going to say, not everybody gets the luxury of Bill Belichick getting to have Tom Brady for 20-something years. So you always have to be prepared for the next one. Jay Hobson swapped out Quadra Griggs, Keon Howard, and he had a couple other guys, and it had Jack Abraham. He had to make three switches in that amount of time, and he did it successfully. That's why they have a solid team right now. So it is the job of the coach to get talent in on the team, and if you're unable to get talent at the most important position, well, then you failed at your job, right? So I don't buy the quarterback excuse. Everything else, like, they don't even have a good defense anymore, right? They have probably the worst tackling defense in the division, and certainly, certainly from what I've seen in the league. It's been bad, and it's going to be compounded by the fact that everybody in this division can run the ball, and I think everybody might run the ball all over UTSA this season. And if you don't have an offense to score within them, with the opponents, well, it's over, right? That's the whole name of the game. Score points, stop the other team from scoring. So UTSA looks bad. It may be time for AD Lisa Campos to, you know, call up her favorite search firm. Finally, FIU. I have them last. And somebody's like, well, they're talented, right? James Morgan, they're not that bad. They're not the worst team in the league. No, they're not. But they do have the worst record in the league. 0-2 in the league already. Lose to Western Kentucky. Lose to Louisiana Tech. This was a team that was favored, right? Dark horse, maybe, whatever you want to call it. They have a name head coach. They have all the tools available to them. And they were supposed to compete, and they haven't competed at all. Yes, there have been some injuries. Yes, Tulane's a lot better than, you know, we thought, but nothing looks good right now, and you're 0-2 in the conference. That's going to be a tough road to hoe on the way back to competing. I mean, I certainly see it's possible. I think we could see a two-loss division champ in the East. I think that's very possible, but you don't want to be the team that has to make that comeback, right? Next up, they have UMass in a game that's not going to tell us a whole lot about this team at all, but might help them on the way to a bowl appearance. You know, something good needs to happen for that team. You got to start thinking about that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Conference USA Report podcast this week. Thanks for listening. See you next time.